You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We had a caller ask for the Rangers goal song. He had a bet with his friend. Is it whoa or is it goal? And I checked an impeccable source that I have that would know. And we can confirm it is whoa. Just like Black Rob was singing there.
Confirmed.
Except not as fun. Confirmed. It is whoa. Not goal. There's no hard G anyway.
Did you call Rick?
No.
Oh.
Why would I call Rick? He played for the Islanders.
Well, when they played.
Oh, what are you trying to say?
That.
You're trying to say he heard it enough?
When they played, you're like, oh, damn.
So I have
it's like me in Renegade.
Still I have the lyrics in case you wanted them. And the lyrics are, whoa. Whoa, hey, and then rinse, repeat.
You know what's crazy? Songs always sound stupid when you read them out. Could you imagine when Michael Jackson would sit down? He said, Imakamakamakusa.
Mama say, mama sa, mamakusa. Yeah,
right.
Let's go with that a few times.
Yeah, let's just say we're going to say that, and then we're
going
to transition.
Quincy was somewhere in the control room going, just repeat that. Just keep repeating that.
Mama say, mama sa, mama makusa. And people are like,
and then
is that Swahili?
He just goes woo in between. Is that
Swahili? No.
No, that's what you'd get like somewhere where somebody would say like, that song makes me uncomfortable. I don't know what they're saying.
That's what
that would be.
That's like every Amigo song that I listen to.
Well, just mumbling. Boring. All right, I want you to listen to some. First, let's start it off like this. Again, 800-919-3776. We got your calls. We will get to them. We have topics to get to as well. And so here, you did not just crash on me. All right, hang on a second. So
it's okay.
Your respect level. No, I have it. Your respect level for Lewis Riddick as a NFL analyst is 1 to 10.
Solid 8.
Eight, right?
Yeah.
Eight, though. Not like 9.5. Like, he's not.
No, nobody's like
perfect.
9.5. Yeah.
All right.
I'm only 10, so
you and I have
like 9, 8.
You and I have pushed back as we are, what are we now? So Thursday's a week from the draft. So here we are Tuesday. So we're getting closer and closer. And the sense continues to be, now Dan Graziano was saying, like, everything he keeps hearing is the deal for Aaron Rodgers will be officially done before the draft. Okay. And that would then suggest that a week from now something should get done. But everyone feels like, but if it doesn't, the Jets should do blank at number 13. And that blank is filled in by a lot of our experts, starting with Mike Tannenbaum. They should draft a quarterback just in case, because if a deal's not done before the draft, you don't know what can happen. So here's Lewis Riddick on Get Up, laying out what he feels should be the Jets' contingency plan.
We already know that the Jets are all in on this, and they're going to try and get this done, right?
Right.
But if you get to the draft, and somewhere at some point in time in that 3-day weekend, this deal is still not consummated, and like it continues to get pushed out. Look, you cannot build a football team constantly having your quarterback situation just hang in limbo, because it has such a big ripple effect on everything else that you're trying to do.
So what do they need to consider?
I think there's no question that they have to consider what is going to happen at that position in the draft, if they need to address it in the draft, if Zach Wilson is still not a long-term option for them. Yeah, so what I'm saying is, if the deal isn't done, they have to start considering, do we need to draft a quarterback in this draft?
Thoughts, Bart?
The Jets are in a position that if they're going to draft somebody, they go draft the – what's the alcoholic quarterback from Georgia? Stetson Bennett.
The alcoholic quarterback?
I'm just playing. He got pulled over for drinking and driving. I don't know. Or you think about the kid from TCU, Max Duggan. Like, you do something like that when you got other issues to address. You don't go and you don't get a first-round draft pick when you got Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're telling – What I will say that if Hendon Hooker continues to fall, maybe with one of those number twos, you package that to move up to get him. And you do that and say, you know what, now because we've used this number two, Green Bay, and say if a deal isn't done, they want to get it done after the draft, guess what? I'm not giving you a number one next year because guess what? Now we've already got our future in case Aaron Rodgers leave or don't leave. This kid is going – now he's our future. He's going to be here for a while, you know, and you got him in the second round like Jalen Hurts, and he can become the answer to your solutions. You know what I'm saying? That's basically how Philadelphia found their quarterback in the second round.
Yep.
Because you don't have to commit that much money to him. If he's a bust, if he can't figure it out, now he's coming off an injury. He was a Heisman finalist. I'll do that if he falls. But, like, this notion that everybody believes that it's going to be a quarterback taken in the first round, we know that Carolina's looking for a quarterback. We know that Houston's looking for a quarterback. Indianapolis is looking for a quarterback. Potentially Seattle, right? Detroit. So you maybe worry about Detroit maybe taking Hendon Hooker with their second-round draft pick. But if he looks like he's going to fall out, which most quarterbacks did. Hell, Lamar Jackson would have fell out of the second round. A lot of guys move back into the first round to take him. Now, if the Jets do that like they've done in previous years, move back up, I'll take Hendon Hooker that way. But I'm not spending 13. That's way too high for a guy like Hendon Hooker who can't play this year. And if you got Aaron Rodgers, he won't play this year, maybe not even next year.
Right.
But, you know, he is a talent that I would say – because if you go in the second round, you know that Houston isn't going to take him. Indianapolis isn't going to take him. They're already going to have a quarterback. Now, I do worry maybe about the Rams in the second round, maybe trying to get a solution as they seem like they're kind of in the middle of a rebuild. Mm-hmm. Like, you worry about second day if Seattle doesn't get one at 37. You know, New Orleans has their quarterback. The Raiders, you think, have their quarterback. Carolina will have their quarterback at one. You worry about Tennessee at 47, you know, to pick me 41 to pick right before the Jets if Hendon Hooker falls. But you know, you can't address all that, man. The Jets are trying to win. They're trying to win with Aaron Rodgers. They have to try and get him protection just in case. Now, I know all the guys are back now and everybody feels good, but we know what happened last year with all the different iterations of offensive line combinations that they had. As guys start falling left and right, Max Mitchell, Dwayne Brown being injured and banged up, Becton, you know, everybody, you know, spent time in and out. Herbick, whatever. That guy was hurt. The backup, yeah, Herbick.
Okay. That it? You're just gonna stop there?
No, you still stuck on the alcoholic quarterback.
Stetson Bennett, right. The interesting thing to me is that the first-round pick is not what's in play for Rodgers. And I don't think that you go into the draft and think, well, we didn't get a deal done so on the first day, so we might as well draft a quarterback instead of drafting a tackle that can give us more depth in our offensive line situation, especially we're going to need as much as we can around Aaron Rodgers, right? So – another thing that Graz was saying, which I thought was a really good take, and he said, Thursday's not the deadline. The first soft deadline is really Friday. Why? Because that's when the second round begins and picks 42 and 43 are in your pocket, and one of them, it is believed, is what's going to start the deal that completes a trade for Aaron Rodgers. So it's not your 13 pick that's on the table. And it doesn't mean that before you pick at 13, if there's not a deal for Aaron Rodgers, we all of a sudden have to treat 13 like it's a we need a quarterback of the future situation. Because I'm with you. You're not getting great value at quarterback in this draft at 13. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that at all. And I don't want to draft, especially if you mentioned Hendon Hooker, I'm not drafting a guy who's already 25, 24 years old who probably will sit a year or two And by the time he's ready to go, he's already like 27. And I know, oh, well, he doesn't have a lot of miles on him. Yeah, it's great. But he also hasn't played in a year or two. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know if that's where I'm going. I can wait out and see if this process lets me develop Zach Wilson. And if you're Joe Douglas, and we've heard him say this, you have to feel pretty confident that when need be, we will get a deal done somehow, some way. Does it feed into the Packers a little bit? Of course it does. Eventually, you're going to have to probably cater to them. But there's no way in hell that I'm including, if I'm making, because what you're basically doing there is turning 13 into a pick that you really didn't want to make. And that is what the, like, it's almost like giving it to the Packers. I didn't really want to take quarterback here, but I do because I'm scared. And, oh, by the way, I just make this trade now for Rodgers. Now I got another young quarterback that I don't really want to play. I just wasted a 13th overall pick. That makes no sense, in my opinion. Friday's the day that a deal has to get done because that 42 or 43 pick has got to go in the deal. You have more time than you think, and the first round will not be reflective of whether or not the Jets can get a deal done for Rodgers.
711.com. Oh, big, boy. Not big. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I see something here. Wait, is it 7-Eleven or is it a friend of ours?
It's everybody, but I'm going to go with 7-Eleven because that's what I'm going to give credit to. Because I got a partnership
Rossini.
With them. You got Allen Robinson.
Yep.
Being traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Interesting. So he leaves the
Trying
Rams.
Trying to have Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, he leaves the Rams.
Not a good year with him last year.
No.
But remember
they
brought
back
Robert
him.
Woods. Yeah, they brought back Robert Woods. That's because they kept going. Everything is around Cooper Kupp.
Right. Yeah, the whole offense was built around him. That's a good move for the Steelers. All right, so Allen Robinson to the Steelers.
Steelers got a nice receiving core. Whenever you go there, but, you know, we'll see what Kenny Pickett and what he is. But once again, right, this would, you know, piss me off. See, they're bringing all type of weapons for Kenny Pickett, but Lamar Jackson gets none of this stuff.
He's got Odell.
No, what I'm saying is this year he got Odell.
Right.
Kenny Pickett is in his second year. They already got a guy, DeAndre Johnson. They got a good receiving core there, and they still improving. That's what I'm saying. You have to – you know, continue to put weapons around young quarterbacks. And let's see if Zach Wilson can benefit from the new weapons that he has, as he should get a head start and start to try and figure out this offense as they start an off-season conditioning. You know, this gives him an opportunity to be in the building, be in a football frame of mind. Let's see if he can, you know, let's see how confident they are. The Jets, we'll know by the draft how confident they are about Zach Wilson based on what they do in the draft. If they go out and try and get somebody in the first or second round, they don't believe in them. Third or fourth round, okay, they're trying to groom maybe a backup or somebody that they like traits.
Yeah. Listen, the one thing I'm not doing is if it's going to be a second round pick and we're going to start haggling over next year's first, Bart, give them next year's first. I don't – honestly –
yeah, I don't care about that.
I'm not giving up the beginning of my draft. I'm not doing that. So if you go through the draft and you make all these picks and Rodgers is still not traded, and then next year, the 24 draft, I've got to give up my first and second round picks now? Hell no. I'm not doing that. That's the top of my draft. I am not doing that. So if it's going to cost me a first somehow, some way, take the second this year, take the first next year, and let's get going. Let's move on. And if you want to put a contingency on it, if they're willing to do it, I don't think they are. I think they're saying, you know, you are buying this as is. This is what you're doing. You're taking this as is. It'll last as long as it wants to, but it's not our fault if this used car that I just sold you breaks down after 1 year or doesn't want to work after 1 year.
Yeah,
that's on you.
Yeah, no powertrain warranty on this.
Yeah, right, exactly. No bumper to bumper. But you assume all risks, and I understand that. The Jets want to put protections on themselves. But if I'm the Packers, I understand them saying, no. No, he wants to play for you. You want him.
Your
so
problem
just
now.
You take him. That's your problem. You deal with – because we don't know if he's going to play next year. We have no promises that he wants to play. So you have to now assume all that risk.
It's like you break up with your girlfriend, she goes to somebody else, and she's like, hey, but he don't really pay to get my hair done. Like, nah, I'm not involved in this.
Yeah,
so,
too late.
So it's over with.
Yeah, I don't want to marry you, but I'm going to hang on to the engagement ring just in case. Like, nope, doesn't work that way. That's it. So I'm curious to see if this does get done because I don't want to start giving up a bigger part of my draft next year as a result of waiting after this year's draft to do it. I feel like next week it'll get done, and it might not be on the first day of the draft, but it could be on the second day of the draft when it officially gets done. That's all we're waiting for. 800-919-3776. Let's grab a few calls here. We have audio files coming up, and we're going around again in the world of sports because that's what we do. It is this hour. We tend to like to just go full buffet with you. So, as we're talking about songs, let's go to Elliot in Brooklyn. What's up, Elliot?
Hey, how you doing? Good. Hey, first time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, you guys are great, man. You make my morning. I'm working here right now. I'm trying to figure out what song to give y'all, but I went with
Who that is?
Bing Bong. Nah. There it is. Come on, Bart, man. You're clowning us.
Thank you.
You're clowning us. You're clowning us like a Geico commercial, man. This ain't a Geico commercial. This is the Knicks playoff run, man. This is the Mecca. We need to hear the real, you know? We need Nems, Bing Bong, remix, Knicks remix, Bing Bong.
We need something.
Or we could even go Papoose, Knicks theme song, playoff theme song.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard it yet,
no.
But get on it, man. It's pretty good.
Can we get Jada on there? Because, you know, ever since the verse, Jada. Can we get Jada to do a freestyle verse?
I mean, Jada's too nice, I guess. I don't know what's up with him, but we got Papoose. Hey, same thing. New Yorker. You know what I mean?
All right.
So I'm pretty excited. I hope we take this game tonight, and I hope we go back
2-0. Where are you watching the game at? Are you one of these Knicks fans that you got to be by yourself because you need to hear and talk to the TV? Or are you out where people are talking and you're going to miss some stuff?
Nah, I'm good to the TV. Put it like this. I'm in Minnesota right now working, and I can't even catch the game, like, you know, in my zone.
You got to watch it on TNT. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, man. Oh, I got to hear those bumps. But that's all right, man. As long as I'm watching, my boys get it in. I really don't care. I watch it on a black and white if I have to.
Man, what's the temperature out there, dude?
I got hit earlier in the game in the jaw there, so when I fell, you know, I was kind of protecting myself, and then
that was weird.
Did the frost come back out to Minnesota? Because that's usually an indication of what is going over here.
Nah, well, it was snowing 2 days ago,
damn.
And now it's like 50 degrees. Yeah, it was snowing. It was like
did you cuss when you went outside? Like, damn.
Yeah, oh man.
I got hit earlier in the game in the jaw there, so when I fell, you know, it's kind of.
I swear I'm not touching any buttons at all. Poltergeist in this room. Elliot, we got to go. Appreciate you, man. I mean, Bart,
right.
What happens in this room, man?
It's like being in Twilight Zone, bro.
Get out. Like, this is, like, I wasn't doing – I'm not touching – nowhere near the computer, nowhere near the mouse, nowhere near nothing, and it's just all of a sudden all the audio just starts playing.
I see dead people.
Like, Domantas Sabonis wants to talk to us.
I got hit in the jaw.
It's as if he's trying to remind us that audio files is coming up and you're going to hear from me. And he's like letting you know I'm getting ready. But before we do all that, Brian is in – are you on the Van Wyck? Where are you at, Brian?
Unfortunately, I'm on the Van Wyck, not driving, bumper to bumper as usual, but making the best of it. Matt Barzal, he did not look Matt Barzal-esque last night. I think he rushed back. He's nagging that injury. However, I like to compare him as the Jalen Brunson of the Knicks. You know, Brunson takes a lot of heat. Barzal got paid, and if he's good enough to play, he's got to play a lot better. You know, he's one of the highest paid athletes right now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a big time player for the Islanders, and he's got to produce in these playoffs. Do you think that before his injury, he's lived up to his contract?
No, he hasn't, and that's a lot to ask of him. And that's why they made the move for Horvat. They wanted to get him somebody like a running mate, somebody else that could produce. And for a minute, we got to see a little taste, and it was like, okay, there's something special developing. Then he got hurt. But I'll say this about Barzal. Like, first of all, at least they get in the zone on the power play now. Now, they're not getting any shots, but they slingshot their way into the zone, and his speed helps them at least get in and get set. Their first power play actually looked pretty good with him out there. I give him a break because it's his first game back in a while. He hasn't played since, what, February, right? Like, he's missed a ton of games. So let him just kind of get his rhythm back and get right. It's not all on him. But it always is about the guy that gets the payday, and he's got to produce and he's got to score. Horvat too, by the way. Like, you got it. These two guys that you were traded for a reason. They come in here and get this offense unlocked. The offense was anemic last night. And now look, the Canes. That's how they play. They're in your face. They grind it down. They They take a lead, and then they slow things down. They're very difficult to play against. They have been historically since Brindamore was the coach. Still, when you are getting four power plays, you have got to score. You have to score. And that has been, especially on the road. In the playoffs?
What's your concern level?
It's high. It's very high. Because I wanted to see, could they find their identity from playoffs in the past? Can they be that grinder team that's hard to play against? I didn't see them win enough battles for me. I think their goaltending is what kept this game close. Their penalty kill early was awful. I mean, the way they played off the faceoff twice was just like, it was maddening. It was like, that's a set play. Are you not prepared for that? That first goal by Aho, which their Aho is better than our Aho, by the way, Bart. I know you needed to hear that.
Yeah, I did.
But their Aho is definitely better than ours. But they like that first play was just thinking to yourself, how does that puck get across the ice like that? Just for an easy one-timer off a face-off? That can't happen. So a lot of stuff there that they need to clean up. But I just feel like this is who they've been all year. That's part of the problem. And eventually at the end of the season, when this end of the season comes around, if they don't win this series, and I don't have a good feeling that they will, that you're going to have to look at their decision to change the coach and go from Barry Trotz to Lane Lambert, who was the assistant coach.
Yep.
That's part of the problem because the core didn't change. That core that got to, you know, multiple back-to-back conference finals is pretty much in place, the same core. Why are they a different team? That's the question that I need answered. And it might be you have to look and see that decision at coach.
Yeah, the coach didn't allow it to happen. That's what happens.
Or it's also the way you decided to play, which doesn't fit the way this team is built.
Personnel, right. Yeah.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Right now, Bart Scott, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File.
The Audio File.
All right, so voluntary camps opening up all around the NFL this week. And in Buffalo, we have some good news. Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, giving us a DeMar Hamlin update.
DeMar saw his last specialist on Friday. Long and short of it, when he left Cincinnati, came here, was Buffalo General. He saw a couple of specialists here in Buffalo. And then since then, he's seen three additional specialists, most recently on Friday. And, you know, they're all in agreement. It's not 2-1 or 3-1 or anything like that. They're all in lockstep of what this was, and that he is cleared, resumed full activities just like anyone else who was coming back from an injury or whatever. So he's fully cleared, he's here, and he is of the mindset, he's in a great headspace to come back and make his return.
Is this improbable news, Bart? DeMar Hamlin cleared to return to play football?
No, because I didn't believe that it was a career-ending injury if you can get past it mentally from what he had to deal with. It's more about him being comfortable mentally to be able to make tackles, go up and be part of collisions, and the things that we are asked to do on a day-to-day basis, especially from his position. And now the reality is, you know, he'll have an opportunity, if he chooses to be able to get back to normal and, you know, provide for his family. He's a guy that was playing and had an opportunity because of Micah Hyde being injured. Mm-hmm. He was starting. He was one of the better players, and he probably would have secured himself a opportunity to get a contract with somebody else or with his team. And now he finds himself in a place where he can go back and just worry about football. Micah Hyde is healthy. Poirier re-signed. So he's going to start, not first or second on the depth chart. And they have to be really – he has to be transparent with how he's feeling. And not from a physical standpoint, but from a mental standpoint. It's almost like when guys have ACL injuries and they don't want to step into the pocket and really put weight on it in fear that somebody's going to run into it. Watch Tom Brady deal with it. Sometimes thrown off his back foot. Other guys that have suffered from those type of injuries. Now, being able to come down, because he was supposed to be a physical player and a big hitter, how will he feel? Or the first time he gets peeled back on or hit in his chest, mentally, can you handle it? It's almost like you want those things to happen organically, but you may want to manufacture it and drill so he can just understand that he can take the hit, that was a once-in-a-million type of incident, and it hadn't happened to him before in his football career, probably would never happen to him again.
Yeah, amazing. Like, again, the recovery, the whole process of it, but to see him back on the field and playing again would be obviously dramatic. All right, moving on to the audio files. We just mentioned in the previous segment, so just one quick reference on, and that is, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, so tonight you'll get the Rangers and the Devils. And last night, the Islanders had their first game of the playoffs. They were in Carolina. They lost 2-1 to the Carolina Hurricanes, and they just continue to struggle on the power play. There was a lot of struggles last night, even though it was such a close game. Here's the head coach, Lane Lambert, on getting ready for game two.
I thought there was certainly positives in the game. You know, it was a hard-fought game by both teams. I thought both teams had some chances. We certainly had our looks in the third period and with our goalie pulled. But, you know, I thought that we got better as the game went on. And, you know, we'll just have to get ready for game two.
Had your chances. Bottom line is, it ain't about the chances. It's about burying those chances, especially in the postseason. They have struggled to do that most of this season, and the power play has really been bad. I don't know how you turn that around that quickly in the postseason. It's just frustrating to watch this team that just 2 years ago was one of the best in the league with a chance to win a cup. The core is not much different, but the head coach is, so keep an eye on that. Moving on, Bart, last night while you were sleeping in L.A., the Mets with a comeback win, 8-6 against the Dodgers.
You think I didn't see Beatty do what he had to do?
Brett Beatty got called up and right away had an impact with an RBI single. And here's Buck Showalter talking about the rookie's debut.
Brett's he's got a good demeanor about him. He and Francisco both, our young guys, have bring a good demeanor to, you know, healthy respect, but not intimidated by it. I think they're enjoying themselves. Should. Wouldn't you like? I'd love to be that age and going through this, but he's not. I don't think he's intimidated by it, but he's got a really good, healthy respect for it. I take out of tonight the great defensive play he made. That was fun to watch.
I mean, you just want to be able to come up and contribute. He does it right away, Bart.
And that's what you look forward to, man. Listen, you know, who knows? They might call some other people up, you know what I mean, and get some opportunities early on. As, you know, health is an issue. You want to make sure that you keep guys when they need rest. This is what we've been waiting for. Last person got called up, Pete Alonso. You see what he was doing, leading the league. You know,
Alvarez, the catcher, the 21-year-old he was referencing there in Francisco, you know, again, he's the one that has struggled a bit, but they expect his bat to be a contributor.
Yeah. And right now you're not losing anything. You're not losing much ground. I mean, you're in second place in the division. I mean,
Braves are on a heater right now.
Yeah, but the Phillies are still – we knew the Phillies were going to struggle. We're waiting for Bryce Harper to come back. This gives them an opportunity to kind of let some guys play. We talk about I'm trying to think of the analogy. Like the young Lakers that played a lot because LeBron and everybody was hurt. And then when it comes time to depend on it, these guys are emboldened because they're confident, right, because they've been put in situations. So, you know, putting him in – calling him up and him showing up against the Dodgers of all teams, you know what I mean? You talk about, you know, one of the –
Yeah.
historically great organizations.
The stage of Dodger Stadium and everything.
Yeah,
and a tough game, too. I mean, Peterson started, he did not pitch that great, but they overcame it because their offense got it going. Good to see Vogelback also contributing as well. Meanwhile, former Met, Bart, Jacob deGrom, had a no-hitter going through four and then had to leave the game. Have you heard this story before?
You know, I felt it a little bit warming up, thought it was going to loosen up, and it actually tightened up a little bit as the game went on. So playing it smart. Could I have kept going? Probably. It was lingering, and it got a little bit worse as the game was going on, and I was like, hey, you know, I just want to play this safe. We got a long season ahead of us.
Well, I tell you what, you get two things here. You get his greatness for four innings, and then you get the biggest fear, which is what we've seen of him in the last couple of years, which is breaking down.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the narrative, right? You think about Jacob and what he could have been if he could have been healthy last year, could have probably got his third Cy Young. Mm-hmm. Now you just get concerned with almost him being on a load management type of thing, right? Almost they may have to consider start skipping starts. You know what I mean? And you know, the Mets have seen it all too well. They saw him become the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
They also saw him begin to break down, and also his stubbornness not to take some heat off the ball. Like, this dude is the only person I know in the recent years that velocity has gone up. And, like, he's throwing like he's Syndergaard. Syndergaard threw because the ball hard because he didn't have secondary pitches. For all indications, Jacob is a complete pitcher. He can throw it all. And, you know, he gets enamored sometimes with the speed gun. And I think I just get concerned that he's never going to be able to make it through a complete season anymore because compensation, it seems like it's always something. Remember, they had to shut him down in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
When he was getting prepared in training camp. You know, and here we are still relatively early into the process, into the season.
Wrist soreness.
And already, torn down already. Felt it in the warm-ups.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, the Texas Rangers invested in him. The Mets basically lost him, replaced him with Verlander, who's, you know, coming back from an injury. But still, the thing with DeGrom is his greatness, but right now you just worry about his durability. So let's go to the NBA playoffs last night. And the big story in last night's doubleheader was the Kings and the Warriors. And the Kings win that game. They're up 2-0 now on the series versus defending champs. Series now heads to Golden State. But in that game, Domantas Sabonis from the Kings and Draymond Green got into an altercation where Sabonis flops down to the floor, and as everybody is around them, he then hooks his arm around Draymond Green's ankle, holds it for a minute. Draymond didn't like it, tries to pull away, and in doing so, steps on his chest, stomps down, gets a flagrant two, thrown out of the game. And Sabonis also got a tech as well. So we've seen Draymond has gotten into these things before. We remember famously the 2016 finals when they were up 2-1 in that game. He swipes at the crown jewels of LeBron James, you know what I mean? And he gets suspended for a game. That series was 3-1. They ended up losing in seven. But Draymond has his reasons, and he explained them after the game.
My leg got grabbed second time in two nights. Referees just watch it. I got to land my foot somewhere, and I'm not the most flexible person, so it's not stretching that far. I can only step so far and pulling my leg away. So it is what it is.
Is what it is. Yeah, Draymond, I mean, listen, it's not as reckless as the other things that he's done. It's not like he's getting a tech, but, you know, somebody pulling
your leg. This was one when you watched it, you thought to yourself, I would probably be as frustrated as he was in that moment. Guy's holding on to my leg.
And he fake fell in front of me.
Oh, please. That part of it, too? Sabonis
play on.
Like that.
I just hope that nobody gets fined, nobody gets suspended. I mean,
might get fine because of the stuff he was doing with the fans. I don't think he gets suspended.
These fans are getting kind of out of control already, man.
You had to see those people. They were going crazy. All right. So Giannis, talk about injuries. Giannis gets hurt early in the first game against the Heat and leaves the game. The Heat end up winning that game. And so, of course, Knicks fans right away are like, whoa, if we can get out of this round, we play the Bucks without Giannis. Giannis had a back contusion, right? He landed hard.
Tailbone,
Mike Budenholzer, the head coach of the Bucks, with his assessment of Giannis's availability for game two.
He's still sore, but I think progress. You know, he's getting some treatment. You know, I think we'll just continue to monitor him for the next, 24, next day or two. And probably fortunate that 2 days between games.
And so it seems like he'll be fine. Again, another series with two games between games, allowing guys to rest. and recover.
Can I ask you this, Alan?
Go ahead.
Out of all the teams that's down 0-1, you know, I know some teams are out down 0-2.
Yeah.
Who are you most concerned about? Is it the Clipper? I mean, is it the Suns?
No, I'm not worried about the Suns. I'm worried. I think to me that right
is
now
it the Grizzlies.
Look, I'm not. You know what? Down 0-1
with Jai and the injury.
Yeah, I would say there's probably big concern
the
for the Grizzlies.
Feeling good for itself.
Like the Hawks and the Nets, I don't expect much out of either one of them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like I just don't see them winning those series. So to say you have concern, I don't. But I would say Ja's injury, they already don't have Brandon Clark. They already don't have Steven Adams. Oh, yeah. I would think down 0-1, that is down 1 already, that's a concern.
Who do they play? Who like, I wonder who they play. And, like, will this revive?
Wouldn't it be Lakers-Warriors? If the Warriors advance? Or
Sacramento.
Kings, yeah, then it'll be Lakers-Kings.
Yeah, because I don't think with – I mean, Sabonis versus Anthony Davis,
if
it's back.
Can't guard him. No chance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, the matchups favor LeBrick-bricking them if this – you know, because
very
I think I think if Golden State played – you know how, like I say all the time, how certain teams can't get rid of certain teams, but they match up good against other teams?
Yep.
So Golden State probably would beat the Lakers, but I feel like if Sacramento take care of the Golden State Warriors, even though Sabonis and them is a better squad, I think that the matchup against the Lakers is just too hard for them because they don't got nobody for LeBron. They ain't got nobody big enough. Who, Barnes? Barnes ain't big enough and strong enough to deal with Bron, and Anthony Davis is a matchup nightmare for Sabonis.
Yeah, but let's get there first. But you're right. When you start looking ahead at the brackets, you start thinking about matchups and could the door be open if Golden State can't survive this series? Because that'd be a lot of fun, a second round like that. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Ray. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get back to your calls and more. 2 o'clock hour, we get back into the Knicks and the Cavs, which are tonight. Game 2, what we see in that. Wally Szczerbiak going to join us as well. He's on the call with me on MSG Networks tonight, pre and post. We got the full coverage as well on MSG. If you're watching on TV, no reason to change the channel. Keep it on MSG Networks from the pregame show at 7 all the way through. Mike and Clyde, Rebecca on the call, and then we have the postgame for you as well. And, of course, on the radio, we have the coverage right here on 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's always for me like dicey when like worlds collide for me, like when I get like someone, two people I work with. So I want to share with you that you remember, was it last week or earlier this week when we did this whole thing and I said if it was me or Steve Gelbs, who would you save first?
Yeah.
And you said, Gelbs has got to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's on the West Coast, so I texted him. And I just said, just to let you know, Bart chose me. And his response was actually pretty good. He just said that that might be the case, but he said, I'll be saving Willie from now on after hearing that.
Willie big enough, he going to float. We're going to ride Willie to the island.
But still, that was a lot of fun. But see, between you and Wally now, like, yeah, you even said it. Like, that's a difficult one.
Not for me, but okay.
I'm just saying.
No. I understand. See, before we had Wiley on, you said it was me. But now when both of us are here, now you got to qualify it. Now you got to say like
– I was actually setting you up for the line you used last week.
Depends.
You didn't use it.
His eyebrows?
Yeah.
He's going to make him see. Yeah, he's going to save me, and both of y'all are going to sink. Going to fit them things, fill up with water?
Yeah, I was setting you up to say he doesn't need rescue. He has his eyebrows, and I was going to say you're right. That's why I'd save you first, but you didn't catch the lob.
I wonder if his eyebrows are water resistant like a lab. You know what I'm saying? You know how sometimes like it's waterproof, like labs they can swim. Maybe.
You ever like think like if you take like a hair dryer, you just blow dry them up, like puff them up a little bit. Can you put cornrows in your eyebrows? Could you do that?
Customato. They should do it like, you know how people do like the Pringle beards? They do the Pringle beards. They should do it to his eyebrows.
With the grease? Oh, my God.
So like every time you walk by, people be like, huh?
Adventure,
everybody be like, huh?
Bart and Wally will definitely gang up on me, which will be a lot of fun.
I ain't say nothing. Huh? It always looks surprised when you put the Pringles thing. You ever see a lady like they mess up and they draw their eyebrows too high and look like they surprised or saying something? Like what? Like huh? What'd you say? I ain't say nothing.
You look like you're surprised about something.
Huh? What? I ain't say nothing.
Let's take Greg in Queens. What's up, Greg?
Hey guys, just wanted to give you a call and give you a song for the Knicks to play tonight.
Okay, what do you got?
Naughty by Nature, Uptown Anthem.
I mean, that's, you know, it's always a good one.
Oh, so y'all going to take Naughty by Nature, but y'all said I can't say no outside of New York things. You know,
at least they're in the tri-state area. We've got Alabama a lot of Knicks fans in Jersey.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go Freeway then. Is Pimp C in the place to yell and say, yeah, Philly. We doing tri-state area.
What are we, California?
We can't
who calls
do that.
It a freeway?
You're going too far, Bart.
Yeah, you see, that's Bart. Bart likes always taking
too
far. It's
Pimp C in that place to be free, and I came to that place to rock the mic right.
Habitual line stepper, Greg.
We can't do that for New York, though. We got to keep that New York, New Jersey, you know, hip-hop to it and get the crowd moving. You know, we got to flip. We got to battle. We got to roll. We just got to do what we got to do and pull it out.
See if it can get done, Greg. Thanks for the call.
See if they can step on their neck today.
I mean, I'll tell you what. It's like, again, I go with the officiating. I want to see what you get, what tone might be set. Now, tonight you get. Here's the crew. Tony Brothers is like one of the veterans. Like, Tony Brothers is one of the better officials you can deal with. 29 years he has been. This is his 30th season. Or 29th season, I should say. So, this guy has been a ref for a long time. He's been very good. And you don't have to worry with him, okay? Because he's reasonable. You could talk to him. He's aware. He's officiated these kind of games. I like Tony Brothers. But you know who else? They have a very infamous official in this game. Do you remember Ben Taylor and the issues that he had? Who was it with? It was him and who was calling him out? Who was it? Remember?
Yeah, early this year.
It was this year, right? Somebody was – who was calling out Ben Taylor? Oh, man. He put him on blast.
Yeah.
So he's the second official. And then Brett – it was Fred Van Vliet. Right. Yeah, Fred was the one who put him on blast. And then he got reprimanded by the league, actually.
Yeah, got that cheese
taken. But they still – right, but they still let him officiate playoff games.
Playoffs,
so
that is crazy, man. Like,
and Brett Barnicky is the other – official who I don't know him that well. All I know is when I hear his last name, I think of Stripes. Barnicky.
Sounds like somebody
he owes
else
me money.
Sounds like somebody else, SpongeBob.
Anyways,
yeah, Barnacle Boy, Starfish. Barnacle Boy.
Okay, let's take Spike in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
It's good to talk to you guys. I just sent you a message. Tony Brothers and Nick close games in the last 10 years. You know, I'm crazy enough to track that stuff. They're under 500. But my point was, if Josh Hart doesn't play tonight, we got a chance. If he does play, I think control the boards, keep the turnovers down. Boy, did Evan Mobley come up soft like a Carvel. Whoa! Julius was putting his big ass into him like Wes Unseld or Rick Mahorn and bully-balling him off the boards. I thought Julius, and I've been hard on Julius Allen, you know that. Mm-hmm. I thought Julius played terrific. He got rid of that rebound. It came right to him, whipped it right out. Hartenstein won the game with the tap out. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Okoro, shooting his spy hole off mm-hmm. about Brunson, getting mm-hmm. working the refs. He had four free throws.
Yeah, young players trying to turn – you know what it is, Spike, and thanks for the call. It's young players talking about officiating like that. That officials are turned off by that. Like, who are you? Like, what do you mean you're going to work me? You're going to talk to me about it? Like, I'll let you know what's a foul and what's not a foul, Sonny, okay? So, I am curious to see how this goes down. I'm curious to see if there's, like, are they cracking down and they're not allowing physicality, calling everything? Or is it just going to continue to be a physical playoff game? Because if it's physical playoff game, who does it benefit, Bart?
Knicks, they're more physical team.
Because that's how they
play. Mentally and physically.
Yeah, that's how they play. That's what they do. So let's just see how this thing goes tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.